Well, we have a very special treat this morning. As you know, at different times in the class, we give opportunities to have us hear from different ministries. And the refugee resettlement is one. And but while we've been talking in this class about politics according to the Bible, we've had Kathy Herod from time to time talk about the valuable work of Center for Arizona Policy. And we've had we had Alan Sears with Alliance Defense Fund and Ben Bull with Alliance Defense Fund. Kathy's trying to influence the laws that are made. Alan Sears and Alliance Defense Fund are trying to influence the legal battles in the courts. Well, now another ministry that actually had a beginning a few years ago and kind of fizzled a little bit, but we're doing a restart of this ministry called Capital Ministries here in Arizona. And it's really to minister to the personal and spiritual needs of people in the legislatures of the states and in the U.S. Capitol as well. So I've been pleased to meet a few weeks ago and have a wonderful hour with Ralph and Danielle Drollinger. And Ralph is the National Director of Capital Ministries. Ralph and Danielle stand up and then come up here? When Ralph stands up, you'll see that he did play basketball for UCLA as well under Coach John Wooden and had quite a career there.
Scripture is very clear. Romans 3:23 says, "Some have sinned and fallen short."
I can't think of anything more to say. And Ralph is here and going to give an introduction to this ministry. And then he has brought along Congressman Trent Franks, who is here with us as well. And Congressman Franks represents the... Arizona's 2nd Congressional District, which is... Peoria, Surprise, Goodyear, Lake, Havasu City, Kingman, Bullhead City, and the whole northwest corner of the state. A lot of desert. Grand Canyon. Okay. And Congressman Franks just told me this morning that he and his wife have taught the 1 and 2 year old Sunday school class at North Phoenix Baptist Church for 22, 23, 24 years. So they've been faithful members there, and he's been elected by 58-59% majorities, even in difficult years for conservatives. And so we're so thankful to have all of them here.
Thank you, Dr.
Hear from you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what a privilege to be with you this morning.
Okay.
I'm not sure I need a microphone.
Oh, you do need a microphone.
I'm not sure I need a stage. I come with a built-in stage. And I reside in California, my wife, and we have the ministry in D.C. now that we started just 2 years ago, a lot with the help of Trent. And it's just phenomenal what's happened. When you look at the Tea Party fiscal conservative movement, it's voted in all of these fiscal conservatives who, guess what, happen to be social conservatives, which means a lot of them are evangelical. So our numbers in the ministry have, like, doubled from just the last election. I think we have about 60 evangelicals now out of the 535. And if you talk to someone who's been there a long time in terms of spiritual ministry, Dr. Halverson's nephew, he would say that back when my uncle was the chaplain of the Senate, there's maybe one or two outspoken believers in the whole of the 535. And they had somewhat questionable theology. And today we see 60 or maybe even 70. And it makes me think of the parallel in the sports ministry movement, where you can probably imagine I've had a few years. I played some basketball in my earlier days before my knees became glass. And suffice to say, if you talk to some of the early birds in the FCA movement, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, they would say that in the 50s there's maybe one or two athletes in the whole of the country that could articulate their faith in Christ. And today there's literally thousands. It's hard to go at least through a college football game without hearing some athlete talk about his faith in Christ in either local or national, electronic, or print media. And that has a lot to do with the germination of what we call the American sports ministry movement, to where today we see hundreds of full-time sports ministers that are the impetus behind this movement for Christ in the sports people group, if I can use that missiological term loosely. And in the sense of what we see parallel in the nation's capital, our dream has always been if we could put 50 intentional, deliberate, biblically reliant disciple makers, one on every campus of the capital, we could have a farm system similar to the sports ministry movement, wherein we start to mature legislators at a younger stage in their political life to where when they get to D.C. or if they just go up the ladder in the state, they're going to have much more visceral convictions relative to the Bible. And Dr. Grudem's book sure helps us a lot in that area. And so what we see then is a need to put 50 men in 50 capitals, and that's why we're here this morning, is to talk to you about forming a steering committee out of your class. And we're going to have a meeting at the Miracle Mile Deli after this at 11:15, and I think Dr. Grudem is going to hand out a little handout sheet or a sign-up sheet if you're interested in being part of the steering committee. If you can, write on that. And I also have some handouts here just to the foot there that kind of explain this in a one-pager. And so what we're hoping to do is start a steering committee to put a full-time ministry in the state capital here, because 75% of the legislators in D.C. come through the state capitals. And so it's like the farm system of the political maturation process. And so to create a movement for Christ that's sustaining in our nation's capital, we really need to have a network of ministers ministering downline in the legislative career path. And Trent's certainly a product of such, having been in your state capital for many years and now one of the finest and most outstanding Christian legislators we have in our nation's capital. And everyone loves Trent. And we came in on his coattails, not realizing how much gravitas and ethos he had with his fellow members. One of his fellow members said, "Why don't you just come, Ralph, and restart the members' Bible study? It's been defunct for a couple years, and we love Trent. If Trent thinks you're good, then let's go." And so off we went, and now I think we have 27 sponsors to the members' Bible study, and we meet every week. You can pray for us after first votes back, which is either Monday or Tuesday night. After a procedural vote, we have a dinner Bible study in the Capitol right off of the balcony of the house. And so you can pray for us in that regard, because it's just growing immensely as a result. So I want to have Trent come up and tell you a little about himself. And I think Dr. Grudem is going to ask him some difficult questions. And you can too. And Trent's just one of my best friends in D.C. He's another tall fellow. He hasn't sinned too much. And you're going to love this man, and he just means so much to Daniel and I, he and Josie and the twins.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Ralph. You can imagine it's impossible to know what to say after this man talks about you like that, but I'm very grateful to be here with all of you. I don't know. We are right here? Oh, I'm sorry. We'll just do that. Can you hear me well now? All right. Well, that's just redundancy. Let me tell you, that's a pretty good plan for a roughneck most of the time. But I can't tell you what a sweet honor it is to be with all of you. And I get to come to a lot of different churches. And I try always to say one thing in the beginning, that I truly am not here to try to gain your endorsement. But I want you to know that I endorse all of you with all of my heart, because I believe that you're the hope of humanity. I believe that indeed the gospel is the only chance that the world has, and that people think, you know, well, if you're a Christian, why are you in politics? And let me just say to you very simply that I believe we forget the advantages of this country in terms of the gospel itself. If all we cared about, and it certainly should be our preeminent concern, but if all we cared about was the Great Commission, that should be the top priority of every Christian. But if that's all we cared about, if we had no other concerns, we would still find ourselves having to embrace the political dynamic so that we could maintain the base of gospel outreach that this nation has become. Over 80% of all the gospel missionaries that go out into the world to preach the gospel of Christ either come from or are funded by the United States of America. And if this country should somehow be diminished, I'm afraid that outreach would be diminished too. And I I'm reminded of a Christian statesman in, he was on the Judiciary Committee, and he actually served in the same capacity as I do as chairman of the Constitution Committee at one time. And he said this, he said, "Hold on, my friends, to the Constitution and to the Republic for which it stands, for miracles do not cluster. And what has happened once in 6,000 years may never happen again. So hold on to the Constitution, for if the American Constitution should fall, there will be anarchy throughout the world." Now, I just can't tell you how touched I was by this presentation of Burma. I mean, you know, I have to be careful because it always hits me emotionally, but my wife is from the Philippines, and sometimes it's hard to tell the difference in those faces. And it really brings it home to me that all of these are just God's children. And somehow we have to, you know, take great comfort in knowing that God sees all of their plight and that He is going to see that day of deliverance come to them, either in this life or the next. But in the meantime, what happens in America is profoundly important to them. It is one of the great hopes they have in this life. And so I just can't tell you how important I think it is to make sure that the leaders of this nation are committed to Christ and are committed to humanity itself. And the Ministry of Capital Ministries, I believe, is doing a better job right now than anybody else on Capitol Hill. I know Ralph is always very effusive with his kindness, but let me just say this about Ralph and Danielle. And I've known them for a number of years, and we've talked about bringing a Bible study to Capitol Hill now for, it turns out to be years already. But they're there now. I truly believe that they are the most effective, most impactful Bible study taking place on Capitol Hill today. And the reason that's important is because whatever else you want to say about Washington, I know it gets a lot of battering, and it certainly deserves it. But it's also home to the most powerful parliamentary body in the face of human history. And we have a chance, really, to see that work for good or ill. And I truly believe that the influence of the church and the influence of Christians, that's the influence of Christ on earth, is the influence of Christians, is the one hope that it has. And so I can't express to you how I hope that if there's something that is being placed on the hearts of people in this audience to join this effort and to help Ralph and Danielle, I just can't tell you how much I think you're going to be impacting the world in the long run. And I don't want to take a lot more time than that because I don't even know how much time I had, so I may have already be overboard, but I just can't tell you how much I think that they're going to do some great things, continue to do some great things, and I hope that God lays it on some of your hearts today to be part of it.
And if you want to find out more about Capital Ministries, there's some sign-up sheets in the back, just like this. Thank you, Dr. Groom, so much for allowing us to...
Now, will I be addressing your book later? Because if I'm not, I should take just one more minute and say that the book by Dr. Grudem, Politics According to the Bible, is going to be the basis for the next 4 years of the Bible study in Congress. And we consider Dr. There are a lot of people, including me, that consider Dr. Grudem to be, I'm going to say, the most reliable, foremost Christian, evangelical Christian theologian in the world. And you don't have any idea what you have here. And we're going to use his blueprint, or I should say Ralph and Danielle are going to use his blueprint, to see that imprinted on the hearts of a lot of legislators. Because there's a lot of legislators there that are there for the right reasons. They just don't know quite how to do it. Those that are there for self-aggrandizement, they're kind of not part of the equation anyway. But those that are there, they're trying to do the right thing. A book like Dr. Grudem has written is vital and has, I can't even express to you the profound impact that could have in their thinking. Because when you're there, you know, your conscience tells you to do the right thing, but it's your intellect that informs you as to what that is. Sometimes you don't know. And it's especially complicated in a very volatile, diabolical environment like Congress. And if you have someone that has understood these things and is able to impart those in the hearts of the members of Congress, then when a tough vote comes up and they really want to do the right thing but they don't know how, they have a better chance of coming down on the side of the Bible. So, thank you.
I wanted to ask some questions, if I could, for a minute, but I want to do a couple of other things. I wanted to note, Congressman Franks, that You were also the founder of the Arizona Family Policy Council, which was the precursor of not what is now Center for Arizona Policy. And well, so thank you for that. And
well, let me just tell you, just for clarity here, when we started this a long time ago, it was called Arizona Family Research Institute, okay. And they were the board and the corporation, I guess, has been left in place. And I met Dr. Gruden for the first time this morning, and he mentioned this to me this morning. So I just want you to know that they brought in a lot better leadership, and they are now doing things that I never dreamed to see happen. And Kathy Herod and Lynn Munsell have been I run out of kind of words for them, but they have been the most reliable, faithful Christian champions that you could have had running such an organization. And they've really been the ones that have put it on the map and done the work.
Great.
Yes, sir.
The other thing I wanted to do was to say that Ralph not only has a basketball history, you're a Master of Divinity graduate of Master's Seminary.
He's real
California.
Smart.
Yeah. So,
I'm not as smart as Dr. Gruden.
No, well, okay. So what I have here is a sign-up sheet if you want to help with this ministry, either Arizona or kind of support it nationally. I'll pass around one of these for each section. And then it's an open lunch at Miracle Mile Deli at 11:15 today. Go north on Scottsdale Road to Frank Lloyd Wright, turn right a block, and it's there, 11:15. Now, I wonder if I could ask you to answer some questions from the class.
You can ask. I'll do my best to not answer them.
I'll ask the first one. What is it like to be a committed Christian and to serve in Congress? You've been there since 2003. What is it like?
Well, without trying to be cute, sometimes I wish I could answer the question of what it's like to be a committed Christian, because I'm not sure any of us know. Mm-hmm. I certainly feel like that it's a goal that is far beyond anything I can dream of, but it's certainly the hope of all of us. But to be a Christian in Congress, first of all, is a privilege beyond description. I don't want to skip over that. To be a member of Congress, to have the opportunity to be part of the greatest enterprise of freedom in the history of the world, and to be able to go in there knowing that the nail-scarred hand is on your shoulders is the greatest thing a person could ever dream of. But it is a stressful, dangerous environment that reminds you that humility is your first order, because you are standing on precipices of every kind. And the implications are sobering beyond words. So it is a great challenge. But I will tell you this. People sometimes think that Christians just get bashed in Congress. And we do. And they're always, there's kind of in these insidious efforts to try to destroy our reputation or our faith or whatever it might be. But let me say there's also a tremendous advantage to being a Christian in Congress. Because when you come up with things that are clear to you, and you know that this is what God wants you to do, then the pressures evaporate, because it's a very pressured environment. There's people who want to do this, and there's leadership that wants to force you to do this. But if you know, and sometimes you don't, but a lot of times you do know, that this is clearly what God wants me to do, then you can just say, guys, take your best shot. I'm going to do this no matter what. And that makes it actually easier for me in many ways.
I'm going to take the privilege of asking you a second question that I didn't plan to ask. You're the chairman of the Committee on the Constitution in the House of Representatives now. Will you try to do something to rein in the power, the excessive power of the Supreme Court?
Well, let me tell you, my office has five priorities, Dr. Grudem. One is to protect the innocent unborn, to restore protection to the innocent unborn, because I feel like if we fail there, the least of these, they certainly fit in that category. And just the whole sacredness of human life. Secondly, to make sure that we protect religious freedom across the world, here and across the world.
Yep.
And ironically, the third one, and these are not necessarily in order, is to protect the Constitution from activist judges. Because it's the water on the inside of the ship that sinks it, ladies and gentlemen. And there's nothing more dangerous to our country then judges sitting on the bench ostensibly there to enforce the Constitution, and then they undermine it by having their own constitutional convention every time they sit down to a case. Yep. And it is vitally important. And then, of course, the too quickly is to continue to empower parents to educate their and raise their children, because one of two people will raise children or decide the educational substance spiritually, economically, or academically, or any other way. And that is either a bureaucrat who doesn't know their name or a parent who would pour their last drop of blood out on the floor for them. Wow. And that's a very profoundly important thing. And then finally, it's sort of one that you don't talk about in church a lot, but it's protecting the national security of this country. Because if we fail there, if the arsenal of freedom somehow becomes weak and provokes some of the great dangers in the world, if an Iran gains nuclear weapons and gives it to terrorists and we all step into nuclear terrorism, it could be a pretty catastrophic world to live in. So let me just say to you that of all of the priorities that we have, protecting the Constitution for the sake of all the other four issues that we mentioned is vital. And yes, we do everything that we can. And sometime I'd like to tell you in ways that I can't say publicly some of the efforts that we've made.
Good.
In that regard.
Good. That's an answer I'm delighted to hear. Let's see if we have a few minutes of questions from the class before we get going here. Do we have some microphones? Yeah. Carol.
Just a quick question. Is it possible to get a copy of Dr. Gruden's book to President Obama and maybe some of his staff?
It would take somebody braver than me. But no, that's not true. I've personally handed Mr. Obama letters that are a personal letter that I think was took more bravery than giving him Dr. Gruden's book, but I would be willing to do that. And let me just say to you, I know that probably some of you are aware of the fact that I've been a rather pointed critic of Mr. Obama, but it's nothing personal. I don't know what his motivations in life are, and I don't question them. I don't know what they are. I just am convinced that some of the policies are antithetical to the essence of our country, to the extent that if I don't speak up, I think I'm doing a disservice to the country. And it's I wish I could say it better than that, but I would love nothing more than for this president to embrace the things that are outlined in Dr. Gruden's book. It would be a miracle beyond description and might just turn the whole of humanity in a better direction.
John.
What you can share with us publicly, what can you physically do to prevent the activist judges as Congress or as us as individuals? What can be done? Because it scares me.
Yeah, it should. Well, first and foremost, and I mean I say the obvious because that's always the thing. First and foremost, it's vital that we elect presidents who will appoint judges that have a fealty and loyalty to the Constitution. There is no way to overemphasize that. Secondly, in the House, you know, because the Senate has the ability to confirm or deny these judges. And it's very important that we empower our senators, both with the influence of the people and also some of the House members saying, well, we suggest that you're going to have a hard time in our Judiciary Committee with anything if you don't make sure that you vote right on these judges, because that's a vital situation. But third, and a lot of people don't know, that in Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution, Congress has the power to limit the courts themselves. In a sense, you could put it this way. If we wanted to, we could pare down the courts to one Supreme Court justice in burlap bag sitting in front of a peach crate with a candle. And we could do that if we wanted to, if we had, and I'm not suggesting that that's the plan. But it just shows you that we could take away all other federal courts and just squeeze this down to this much if we wanted to and still be within the confines of the Constitution. And that means we have a lot more latitude than we ever dream of. But the challenge is making it collectively have an impact. But I think more and more people are realizing that all of the great tragedies in our law were not because Congress couldn't be prevailed upon to do the right thing. It's because courts came in, they were unelected, and just simply turned it around. They said the black man wasn't a person. You know, they said the unborn child isn't a person. The German High Tribunal said that the Jew wasn't a person. And we know the Holocaust that followed in every case. So it is very important that it's that word accountability. When judges can just simply change the meaning of words and phrases, just ignore it, then that's a power that human beings shouldn't have without some accountability and the ability of other people to respond. And unfortunately, that's the structure that we have here. And that's a long answer. I'm sorry. And then, of course, there's some internal things that we can do in the Judiciary Committee by saying to the Senate Judiciary Committee, if you want to get anything through this committee, you better do the right thing on the judges, because that's the priority.
Tammy.
Thanks for being here. We really appreciate you, and I thank you for the history that you have and your voting record. And I just encourage you to continue to follow the Lord and don't get caught up in any scandal or anything like that. Just be
Please
true
pray
to
for me on that regard.
You know what we do?
Nothing that scares me more.
Yeah, and it should. You know, yeah. It should scare all of them. So stay true to your core beliefs. But if there were three people running in the for the Republican nomination for president, who would you like to see in the running?
This happens to me all the time. Well, first of all, I have to say this, not to duck the question, because I'm going to answer your question. That's how foolish I am. First of all, I would say that my deepest prayer is that somehow that God's person would be found unbeknownst to all of us, and I don't know who that is. We're stuck in this human frail frame that we're in to try to choose from what's available. You know, Jesus is not on the ballot. And so always remember, whenever you're choosing between candidates, a lot of times I find Christians say, well, I'm not going to vote for either one of them. And I understand that. I understand that feeling. But one of them is going to win. And in this case, you have to choose the best. Because sometimes trying to choose the perfect, you overlook the best and perpetrate the worst. And it's important that you vote and do the best you can. Always move the plan in the right direction. But, I love Mr. Huckabee. I love Mike Pence, but he's not going to be in the race. I think that even though she's been battered to a pulp, that Sarah Palin's a good person. I don't know that she has not suffered some almost irreparable harm in the whole process. There are, I guess, some others that Senator Thune is a believer, but somebody I have a lot of respect for. Senator Santorum, even though we had some disagreements over his support for his fellow senator in Pennsylvania, Mr. Spector, he felt he had to do that to keep his word. And believe me, I understand. You know, before the word is spoken, you're master of it. Once it's spoken, it becomes master of you, and that's very difficult in politics. Sometimes things change, and all of a sudden you're on the line for your word, and so you have to choose between, you know, breaking your word or doing something you think is better. And it's very hard sometimes to know what to do. But I'm hoping that we come up with the right candidate, because let me suggest to you that if we don't win that environment, not to speak against anyone, but if we don't put someone in that position that will not only put people in the Supreme Court that are the right ones, but are willing to enforce this nation's laws and to personify its values, then, we can't help but suffer for that profoundly. And in the final analysis here, I don't want to take more time here. Are we doing okay time-wise? Oh, okay. All right. I just want to be... Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to know, we have a lot of czars in Washington. And is it unconstitutional to have all these czars that have the power? They don't. People don't know how much they're paid, what exact job they have, and they report directly to the president. I always wondered, isn't that unconstitutional? Shouldn't constitutional attorneys bring this to the courts and sue for this reason?
Well, I actually think you're right. I think that appointing czars that do the same thing as those secretaries or things that are there of departments that are outlined in the Constitution is a circumvention of the Constitution. And fortunately, a lot of people think that people like me won the day in the last election. Well, it was the best election that I can remember, but we still only have a third of government. We only have a third, and that's the House. The Senate and the White House are still to be won, hopefully. But the czars are, in my judgment, an example of circumventing the Constitution. And fortunately, in the House, we're going to try to use our budget
capability to limit that, and I hope it will help some. I shouldn't tell this, but when we were doing the State of the Union, you know, they said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court." They kept, and I yelled out, "Ladies and gentlemen, the czars." And that wasn't very funny. But the point is, it points out that this is a whole new invention, sort of. I mean, some presidents have used it, but this one, I think, has abused it. So I agree with you.
Let's do one more.
All right, one more.
Thank you. I was wondering, what is the most effective way of expressing our concerns to the sitting congressmen and women? I know many of us have faxed and called and written letters, and at times I wonder, you know, is that a waste of time? Do they even listen?
Well, I would say to you, first of all, to answer the last one first, that it is not a waste of time. They do, when they say that, you know, when Congress can't see the light until they feel the heat. There is a reality there. It doesn't move people that are already committed, but those who are on the line, sometimes it does. And it's an important thing to do. But let me just say to you that we've talked about the Center for Arizona Policy or groups like that. If you get behind groups like that, they multiply your influence geometrically. And I can't express that in ways that doesn't just sound like I'm just patting somebody on the back, but it is the truth. They have a much greater influence because they become known in the congressional and the legislative environment. And when you strengthen their hand, you're multiplying your own influence there in a significant way. That's why I think what you're doing potentially today with Capital Ministries is so important, because that's where you get in the hearts of these members of Congress and you move the direction of how they vote. And then it is finally, you know, I think it was Solomon said, you know, When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, and when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Now, I want to be very careful how I say that, because I don't think any of us, you know, meet that criteria. But what it really means in this country, guess who's in authority in this country? It's the people. So it really is going to be incumbent upon the people and their electoral capabilities to respond. You don't have to be some radical nut like me and go run for Congress. If you just simply read Dr. Gruden's book in the Bible and know what the issues are and know how the people running feel on those issues, how they intend to vote on those issues or how they have voted, and vote accordingly. That's just being a good citizen. If all Christians did just that much, it would save the country and perhaps the world. And so I leave you with that, and just, you know, as Christians, I hope that we remind ourselves every day. I'm reminded of a little quote that says, you know, of all the marvelous things angels behold on this earth, the thing that astonishes them most is a proud man. Whenever we let our faith become our pride, that we, it's all right to believe in it, but whenever we approach the world in an arrogant or harsh way, and I do it more than anybody else, so I'm not preaching. But when we do that, I think it hurts our effort. If we just do what's right, if we just try to ask every morning, "Lord, please help me do what's right, help me get through this day without messing it up too bad," and we're faithful, I think that there's still hope. I think that, you know, that God has not yet despaired of mankind, and America still is going to be used of Him in a great way. And I hope you help Ralph and help Kathy and all the others here. And Dr. Grudem, God bless you. People like you, these are the thinkers of the world.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Congressman Franks, and Ralph and Danielle Drollinger. Thank you.